morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, Sons and Daughters, based on Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. It's great to see you here on this beautiful morning in our Father's house, the house of our great King. And we are gathered here as God's adopted beloved sons and daughters. We are here to sing praises to his name, to rejoice in all the gifts that he has given us, and to hear his most precious word that he has for us to hear this morning. We begin with our first hymn, number 901. Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for that which was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, This is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 686. Sit down with someone and learn a little bit more about this practice. I tell you what, although they didn't quite use these words, but from an outside perspective, this is what it seems like they do. They essentially go out into the hog pen and choose an ugly beast. And they decide to groom it. They bathe it. They train it. They decide to take it on walks. They bring it to themselves and they care for it almost beyond comprehension. They set it apart from all the other animals and they protect it as to prevent it from harm and to getting in fights or from getting marred. Honestly, these hogs are just so well taken care of. I can only imagine if the pigs weren't quite fully grown yet, they would even be allowed to sleep in the master's bed. It's like an ugly dog that they have brought into the family. They've essentially adopted it. Granted, that adoption is only temporary and it's conditional on certain terms, and yet that image remains, I think, as a beautiful picture. That this animal, once destined for slop and mud holes, can be brought into the family home and cared for. In fact, adoption is always a most beautiful act and a wonderful commitment. I love seeing adoption videos where, whether the boy or girl, whether they're a few days or weeks old, or whether they're well into their teen years, adoption still remains this blessed act upon those who are received as children. But what I find even greater is that this seems to be even more true for God's children. For those who are adopted in God's family as sons and daughters, there is no greater blessing or image imaginable. It's greater than a pig being pulled from the sludge. It's greater than a child being adopted and welcomed into the family. It's even greater than if an angel were to adopt and to exalt a common housefly. An angel could sweep up a gnat and exalt it to equal magnificence, and yet all of that would still pale in comparison to what God has done for the Christian. For God himself has adopted and lifted up the Christian believer to himself. There is no greater act in the heavens above or on the earth beneath. No other act offers as much blessing, as much assurance, love, devotion, or grace than does being received as a child of God. Because here on earth, man is counted among those who are cursed of the world. Man is covered with sweat and the dust of the ground which he had acquired by Adam's fall. They're marked with sin and destined to die, and if left for themselves, man would end up nothing less than to become the food for worms. But it's through adoption, and it's through adoption into God that believers instead become inheritors of eternal life. In God, these same creatures are washed clean, and they are clothed in king's garments. A gnat ascending into the realms and into the fellowship of angels travels a shorter distance than the man who is exalted into the family of God. For there is none like the Lord. He's infinitely greater than the angels whom he's created. The valley that separates man and beast from the angels above appears but an inch when you compare it to the vast canyon that separates God and man. For as Isaiah once said, your sins have separated you from your God. Sin has barred you from the divine presence, and it's only by divine grace that we are brought near. And that grace is received through adoption as sons and daughters. And so I invite you to look back with me at our epistle reading this morning, focusing especially now on verse 15. For here Paul writes, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Within verse 15, we get this contrast of two competing spirits, and they're placed at odds with one another. The first being this spirit of slavery, as Paul calls it. And this is the one that's just so natural to the human body. The spirit of slavery is the one that we're simply born into through the flesh. For notice how Paul says that this spirit isn't given to you to go back into fear. He says, don't go back into it, as if to say again. Because according to the flesh, this spirit is already the reality. The spirit of slavery has been there from the beginning, constantly dwelling within you. That is surely not the spirit which God so graciously gives. That's not the spirit that he gives upon calling those into his family. This spirit of slavery is not from God, because the slavery, as Paul says, is a slavery and it's a bondage to fear. In a sense, he says, the natural man is bound to fear. And there's a lot of ways that you and I can interpret what Paul means here by fear. And so it must be asked, what kind of fear does Paul have in mind? Because I think what most people, what they first jump to by nature, is that when they hear these words fear, they think of the fears and woes of life. Because as we've already said, man is destined for the ground. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And as James says, your life is but a vapor in the wind. And as Peter says, all flesh is like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fade. Man is here today and gone tomorrow. The natural man fears death and even every reminder of it. And personally, this is why I've actually come to appreciate the graveyard that lies just north of town. As more and more communities seek to push death out of sight and out of mind, you will find no grave sites in their towns. Graveyards become more and more hidden down dirt roads and behind dense bushes. And they just blend their morgues into look like modern storefronts. They seek to make funeral homes blend in with the rest of the community. And we do such a good job at hiding death that so many kids somehow think that they are immortal. They are never confronted with this reality of death ever before their eyes. But those who are aware of death's sting are not only afraid of death, but of anything that would even hasten it. Any sense of insecurity or loss of livelihood. Any danger of sickness or injury. All of that brings fear upon the natural man, for they are in bondage to fear. But there's another sense of fear that I think Paul would have us think about this morning, and that is the fear that a slave would have towards a master. This is the fear that comes along with knowing that you are accountable to another. Your master has tasked you to behave properly and to fulfill certain requirements. And for the natural man, this is the spirit of fear that truly ought to be on every human heart. For we are all creatures of the Almighty, and from the beginning he has tasked us to care for the earth. He says to have dominion and to look after creation. He says to love your neighbor. He said to help those in need, look after the poor, the fatherless, the widowed, the blind, and the beggar. He said to be perfect as I, the Lord, am perfect. The spirit of bondage to fear, when we see it in this light, is to be so obvious. For what right does a rebellious slave have to stand before their master? What excuse does a servant have to fall back on? Once they've so grievously harmed against the master's property and his family, what emotion could ever be felt or had except for fear? Because certainly servants who offend their master should experience the full weight of the master's judgment. And the law will always bear witness against the evildoer. Justice will always fall like a hammer, proving just how severe the penalty of sin is and the rightful punishment it has. That is not a word of comfort for those who are not forgiven before the Lord. For even if you think you've sinned only lightly, I ask you to look upon the cross and see what true justice is. For every time you've sinned, every time you've fallen short of absolute perfection and holiness, it is a direct front against the Lord. It is, in fact, high treason against the high king and his high reign of complete love, perfection, and justice. Every sin, regardless of its severity, is worthy of the same punishment that is before Christ, the same punishment that Christ bore. That is the spirit of bondage and fear, and that is the fear that is so natural to the human man. And that is the fear that we ought to tremble at. For that is the fear that even demons have. They believe and yet they tremble. They shudder at the thought that justice is near and that their destruction is certain. And so this is the spirit that Paul tells us not to fall back into. This is the spirit which God's word says that you don't have to fear. For you aren't given the spirit of bondage again. We aren't even given a spirit of liberty. But what's even better, Paul says that we are given a spirit of adoption, even greater than liberty, and newfound freedom itself is sonship. It's being a daughter of God. For not only does being a child of the king include liberty, but it goes far beyond that. It piles upon it even greater and greater blessing. When the Son sets you free, Jesus says, you will be free indeed. Freedom in the truest sense of the word, that is freedom from fear. For a child doesn't need to fear as a servant does. A child in the family of God is always quick to find forgiveness. The good father will not abandon his son no matter how far they've fallen. Now, even the prodigal son had no need to fall back into fear. He retained his sonship through it all. A child is always at liberty to draw near. Children may come before the Father as they wish, because from their lips does the spirit of adoption lead them to cry, Abba, Father. And what a beautiful cry that is. It marks the death of fear and doubt itself. For with such words do God's children tug on his heart. God is bound to listen out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. For those words surely do echo into his very hearts and ears. Surely they echo throughout all of history, for those are the same words that find their beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane. For on that night, Jesus likewise prayed using those same words, saying, Abba, Father, let this cup pass from me. And so he cried that for you. For in those words, the Father is now always reminded of Jesus who died in your place. It's as if those words direct his gaze to the cross, where he looks and he finds full satisfaction for sin. He looks and finds no more need to hold you accountable. He sees no reason to disown you. In his eyes, he sees you as a beloved child. You are spotless and blameless, forgiven and cherished. And so the spirit of adoption, again, is not just liberty, but it is also a spirit of confidence. As children of the Almighty, how sure we can be that he will always love, care, and provide for us. Surely he will not weary from loving, nor will his grace ever run dry. He will always clothe and feed and do all that is good and necessary for his children. He won't withhold any good thing from those who walk upright and who are called to be his children. He will make all things work together for good for those who love him. For he has brought you from the dust of the earth, and he has brought you to be his own dearly beloved child. He has brought you into his own very presence. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. At this time, our reflection hymn is a new one, and so Ron is going to play through it once or twice, and then we're going to jump in. congregation please stand for prayer? Most gracious Father, we come before you this morning as your beloved children, and we come in a spirit of humble confidence. We are certain that you will never reject us or push us away. And yet even still, we don't come arrogantly, for we know that without your grace, we have no right to stand in your presence. Without you adopting us, we are left to our own devices. But gracious Lord, you have had mercy on us. You have shown us a matchless grace, and you have called us to come to you as a child would come to their loving father. And so we do come freely, trusting in your loving nature to care and to provide for us. For you are wonderful and perfect in all of your ways. You bring the poor and rejected things of the world, and you turn them into objects of mercy. And so we pray that we would be recipients of this great love which you love to display. Love us, take care of us, provide for our needs, and keep us safe from all harm and danger. Pour out your love upon us until you bring us home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of compassion, your mercy is new every morning. As we seem to take advantage of your grace, and as we seem to not flee from evil like we should, we pray for your forgiveness. And we pray for your spirit to come mightily upon us, convict us of our sin, and lead us in your way of righteousness. As your children, teach us and lead us to live holy lives according to your perfect will. As we are your children, may we always be growing in your likeness. Increase our faith and strengthen our devotion to you and to everything that is good, right, and true. May we every day continue to grow in the image and likeness of our Lord, shunning evil and doing mercy upon those in need. May we truly pick up our calling as your children and live as a child of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And loving Father, we thank you for all that you do as you care for your people. We know that your sovereign hand is in control of all aspects of our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. You are always there beside us, keeping us safe, and you are working all things together for our good. This morning we thank you and praise you for Judy's 70th birthday that she celebrated yesterday. We thank you for this great milestone and for the many years of service that she has brought to this congregation. And we pray that you would continue to look after her and her family. We ask that you continue to keep her strong and healthy in both body and mind and spirit for many years to come. We also pray for Gary as he is going into surgery on Tuesday. We pray for comfort both now and in the recovery time. We pray that you would relieve any pain that he may be experiencing, and we pray for a successful procedure and that all would go smoothly, that he can rejoice in the gifts that you give upon your children in this earthly life. And lastly, also, we pray for all who are on our hearts and minds this morning, and also all who are on our prayer list. Sovereign Lord, you know the needs of all of these, your children. You know every situation from beginning to end, and we pray that you would work everything out for our good and for the benefit of your holy kingdom. May it continue to grow and expand into all the corners of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn number 894.